The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho, the pot of thunder and rock and roll. And the remedy for boredom has arrived, and you're going to be laughing today because we got Carrot Top here live from Las Vegas. I sat down with him after his show in his Inner Sanctum dressing room, and we had a blast. He's a hilarious guy, prop comedian extraordinaire. If you haven't seen him, you got to go. He's got a lot of famous fans, rock star fans, and that's because he treats his show like a rock concert. Speaking of, he's got great stories about visiting Queen drummer Roger Taylor's castle in London, hanging out with Vinnie Paul backstage, all the ridiculous prop ideas that he has. Carrot Top's also talking about how he got his name, his mentor Gallagher, and what it was like doing all those late night talk show appearances and who his favorite late night talk show host was. He's also talking about his own reality TV show appearance. He was on Star Search back in the day. Remember that? Ed McMahon's Star Search, Sinbad, Bobby Brown. He didn't win though, but he was mistaken for the singer of Simply Red. Ridiculous. He became best friends with Ed McMahon. What? And the one time he worked with WWE, and wait till you hear his Ric Flair impression, it's priceless. But before we get to Carrot Top, just let me say thanks to all of you for supporting the great sponsors of Talk is Jericho. The sponsors are the reason why I get to do this show twice a week for free. And here's one that's going to let you tackle any project in your house, and I used it myself. It's the Works Switch Driver. And you can become the handyman or handywoman you never knew you could be. I used it this past week. My son Ash and I were building a catapult for his school project, and I put it in backwards, so I had to drill holes in because the holes were in backwards, and I glued it, and I couldn't unglue it, and I used my Works Switch Driver. It really, really did work. It was awesome. The Works Switch Driver is a power tool that lets you drill a hole and drive the screw with one tool, okay? The Works Switch Driver makes all those projects around your house easy to get done. You wouldn't believe the little things I'm able to do when I'm home now, fixing stuff around the house, hanging pictures of my kids' rooms, which I also did, helping build catapults, all kinds of stuff I've been putting off doing because I thought they're going to take too long and because I have no handyman skills whatsoever. But the Works Switch Driver is helping me change that. I don't have time to be fixing and installing unless I got the right tool, and the Switch Driver is that tool. Okay, it's the beauty of the Works Switch Driver. You get things done faster, so you get more time at home to hang out with the kids. And the Switch Driver is cordless, so I didn't get tangled up in a cord, didn't have to worry about someone tripping over the cord and pulling it out of the socket while I was drilling. It was amazing. Switch Driver is powered by a 20-volt max lithium battery, has a two-speed gear. The dual chucks let you rotate from drill to driver without changing bits, okay? Rotate from drill to driver without changing bits. It's amazing. So you get your work done twice as fast. It's the one power tool you absolutely need to have. I got to have it. Double your power, save time. What's not to love about that, okay? And right now, if you go to WorksSwitchDriver.com and enter the promo code Chris at checkout, you'll receive free shipping and 10% off your order. That's Works Switch Driver, WORXSwitchDriver.com. Use the promo code Chris and you'll get free shipping and 10% off. WorksSwitchDriver.com. Use the promo code Chris and become the handyman you never knew you could be, just like me.
If you love pro wrestling, then you're going to love my new podcast, Vince Russo's The Brand, now coming to you every weekday at PodcastOne.com. From Hot Divas and Knockouts, to the WWE Attitude Era, to top stars in wrestling, sports, and entertainment, to the wildly popular Bucket Full of Chicken Necks, and much, much more. So check it out now. Vince Russo's The Brand. Go to PodcastOne.com to listen live, download our easy-to-use app, or subscribe through iTunes. That's PodcastOne.com.
Talk is Jericho.
Okay, so we're in the Inner Sanctum.
We are really in the bowels of the Luxor.
In my dressing room. Carrot Top's dressing room, but
he's
downstairs.
He's got a black eye. What happened?
Oh, man, it's tricks of the trade.
Is that
I got kicked in the face.
See, I don't ever have that. You don't see a comedian with a black eye.
You don't.
Oh, my God, what happened?
It's a
rough crowd tonight.
Yeah. Some guy jumps on stage with, this joke suck.
Yeah.
I
always worry about that.
I hate the Hillary Clinton pantsuit bikini.
Nice, nice. Right? Oh, you did see the show.
I did watch it, actually. I did. I sat the whole time.
I said the whole time.
For the sixth time, can you get some new material, please?
I do, bitch.
Ever?
I made new stuff, man.
Every time. But the first time I was down here was I can't remember if I was with Vinnie Paul, but I remember you had a symbol up. This right there, the Pantera symbol. Yeah, yeah. And Vinnie Paul's favorite comedian in the entire world is
he was just here last
Carrot
night,
Top.
Too, yeah.
Really, yeah.
Isn't that crazy? It is bizarre when it comes down to what people, when you run into people that in the business that you find out that are fans of yours.
Right. Mutual respect, right?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I mean, it really is. It sounds silly, but you know, the other night we had Vince Neil came and sang. Vince Neil
for your birthday.
And Rascal Flatts showed up and sang Happy Birthday. So it's like one of those nights, like, people are always like, well, come on, you're used to this. I said, no, I'm never not. I always am not, you know. Shania Twain shows up, and she came. It was great. She came to the show, and she's like, don't, I had not met her yet. Her people.
Right.
Said, don't call her out. Don't, like, you know, whatever. Like, it's you tonight.
And don't give her a shout out, right?
Don't give her a shout out and to let her know people are here. And then it actually wants to just be low key. So I do the crown shot with the thing where I bring the crown out. She's the first one standing, going, give me a shot. Like, literally. So I'm like, here's a shot of crown. I didn't say Shania Twain, but she was standing completely like, I want a shot of crown. And after she came back, she's like, oh my God, your show is so funny. And we just became like best friends. So.
And by the way, like, there was a time where she was, and maybe even still now, but the hottest girl ever.
Oh, she's beyond beautiful. Seriously.
Like, from Timmins, Ontario. I'm Canadian. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, I do know that.
Yeah,
I've done my research, man.
Tonight.
You know.
Yeah. But from Timmins, Ontario, Shania Twain, that's
she's
like,
still hot.
That's unbelievably
she's
crazy.
Still hot. No, she's still hot. Seriously.
Yeah.
She came back and she's still.
She's
smoking
still hot.
And sweet on top of it, yeah.
But you're a rock guy because your act is, that's why I liked your actor from the start. It's very much based around rock and roll and music.
I love music. And, you know, when I first started doing comedy, it was always funny. I always wanted to, when I went and saw comedy when I was a kid, or not kid, I was in college, but it was the first time I was ever at a comedy club. I liked comedy when I was a kid, but when I first comedy club I went to, I kept thinking, you know, it's funny to watch it. I love the idea of the performance, but at the end of it, I wanted to be like you're at a concert. I don't want you to feel like you're at a comedy club. I wanted you to leave with a bang. And so when I started doing comedy, I came up with this idea of doing all the rock stuff at the end. And not just at the end, but during the show, too.
Sure.
So the whole show is full of music and full of
sound effects, clips.
And everything. Yeah. So I tried to – it started out just one thing, and then it slowly evolved into this whole thing now, which is great because there's never one thing that I can say I can put that in my show right now. You know, I was going to put a picture tonight if I didn't have time because I just when I came to the show tonight, someone showed me a picture of Iron Maiden's plane landing
right
at Nevada.
Yeah,
at the Vegas airport.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh my God. It's the first thing I thought of was like, I got to work harder. I got to get a plane, right? So I'm thinking to Jeff, I said, get that and we'll put that in the show. Like tonight when I said Iron Maiden's playing here and the whole crowd went nuts, which was cool. I didn't think
a lot of Maiden fans were here.
My old crowd would know Iron Maiden. But then again, I said Iron Maiden's old. So anyway, I was going to put a joke with Iron Maiden's plane landing and say, look how cool that is. This is me landing in Vegas. It was going to be some stupid, like, you know,
rickshaw.
Horrible
biplane.
Biplane, bad landing, crash, flip. Well, and so we didn't have time to get that in the show, but we'll have it in the show tomorrow. So, yeah, it's.
I'll have you know that, not to name drop, but Adrian Smith is a friend of mine, and it's his birthday today. And we were actually went – it's a funny story. I landed at about 6 o'clock, and then I ran over to the Delano in the Mandalay.
Or Delano.
Delano. Delano. Canadian. It's a fucking Delano. But it was Adrian's birthday party, so he invited me over. So I went over for one drink. I got to split. I got to oversee Carrot Top.
How cool is that?
And he's like, oh, Carrot Top. I'm like, yeah, he's a comedian. I know him.
Bringing them.
Comedian, right?
How
yeah.
Cool
so
is that?
That's like I left the Maiden party to come hang out with you.
Nice.
So there you go.
We stepped down, by the way, but thank you for coming.
But not necessarily, because what I was going to say about Vinnie Paul is that I went to his house here in Vegas.
Yeah,
he's got
a dorm room, really. It's not a house. It's
the dorm room.
It's not a house.
The Elvis room, which is all green.
Yeah,
he's got the Jimi Hendrix room, which is purple, and he's got the Carrot Top room, which is all orange.
Yes, indeed.
So that's pretty impressive. Yeah.
You can get syphilis in my room, by the way. If you sleep in a Vinnie's house, seriously. Be careful. Get your shots.
Did you, when you were a kid growing up, did you ever want to get into a band or be in a rock
always,
band?
No, seriously, to this day, I play drums.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
So I played drums my whole life, and so, yeah, I always wanted to be in a band. I never could figure out how to be in a band, or they would allow me to be in a band. But I've always been inspired by music, and which I know you as
right,
well,
sure.
In a band. And a lot of my friends are in bands. It's weird. And I've always met drummers. I've always, for some reason, I'll walk into I'll meet a band, and I'll immediately, not even seeing the band, I'll say, "You're the drummer."
The drummer.
Right? Right. And he was like, "Yeah, man." I'm like, "Yeah, you're the drummer." So I love drummers. One of my favorite moments in my life since I've been doing this, because I've met a lot of people. You'd meet famous people, you know, and it's still cool to me. Mm-hmm. But the drummer from Queen came, and I remember them
Roger
saying,
Taylor.
"Roger Taylor's coming." Yeah. And so I was like, Roger Taylor. And there's like, Roger Taylor. I said, the only Roger Taylor I know is the drummer from Queen. And there's another drummer, Roger Taylor, from...
Duran Duran.
Thank you. Yeah. So I was like, is it Queen? And they were like, yeah. And I'm like, no. I mean, I got chills just saying it. I go, no. And they go, yeah, no, the drummer from Queen's coming. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And he walked, literally walked, before the show, they brought him back in here, and he walked through that door right there. And I was like, holy shit. Because that band was my, it's still to this day is my favorite, but I mean, I have every archive, everything about Queen, and he's standing in front of me, and I'm like, oh my God, it's like, it's really rock royalty. I mean, it's like, there's
absolutely
not that many people that you really just like.
And that's not an exaggeration, that's the truth.
Literally,
that's the top
right,
of the top.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh my God, and so he's there, and then he comes to the show, and then we had a really, really good show that night. And he comes back after, and he's like, Scott. This is my horrible London impression. Sorry. He's like, Scott, it was so wonderful. You were so, this is so great. Oh, my God, this is so fun. And so I was like, oh, great. So you want to hang out and have a, he's, yeah, yeah, this, yeah. Anyway, so they were staying, his wife was staying, and, well, they actually wasn't his wife yet. They were getting married. I picked him up and took him to lunch in my car. Like, seriously. And I'm driving him in my car from, like, Caesars to the Bellagio, and I remember thinking, are you kidding me? I'm driving the drummer from Queen, Roger Taylor, in my goddamn car. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I've never, right? I mean, I'm serious.
Right.
And so, oh my God. And then, you know how people always say, if you're ever in London, look us up, you stay at our flat, you know? And I'm like, yeah. I've never been to London. I go, yeah, of course, when I go to London, I'm gonna call you. So sure enough, my girlfriend and I were going to London, and I said to her, should I call Roger and say, hey, we're going to be in London, I'm going to take you up on that offer? And she's like, well, yes, you should. So I called him and I said, Roger, it's Karen Scott. I'm going to London. And he's like, when? And I said, in like, you know, 3 weeks. And he's like, well, you must stay with us. I said, well, we got a hotel. We don't want to stay, you know, do that. We got our own hotel down in London. And da, da, da. He said, well, you must come. We'll take you to Queen the Musical. So I get to go to Queen the Musical with him,
with Roger
and
Taylor.
Sit him, and we're watching Queen the Musical, and it was phenomenal. And all he kept saying was, this is complete rubbish. He kept saying that. I go, it's not. He says, rubbish.
He kept saying that to you?
Yeah. This is complete rubbish. You want to go? And I said, no, I don't want to go. This is awesome. Well, I'm going to go. I'll meet you in the lobby. He went and yelled at the band. Said he was you know, telling.
He didn't like it.
No, he didn't like it. Well, just if I saw Carrot the Musical, I probably wouldn't like it.
Right. So, someone playing you.
Yeah. So anyway, he was like, he didn't. Anyway, went to dinner, da-da. Now, here's the best part of the. I love telling this story. So my girlfriend and I had gone to Stonehenge, which you got to do, you know, the tourist thing.
Classic.
So we went to Stonehenge. And
Stonehenge.
It was horrible. It was really freezing cold. And we're there, and she's sick. She doesn't feel well. And so I said, well, I have to go. Roger's invited us over to his house in London on the way back, and they live in Surrey, right? And I go, she goes, Surrey. And I said, remember that movie with Kate Winslet. Sorry, that's Crown Royal.
Okay.
Kate Winslet and...
that's Grey Goose.
There you go.
Kate Winslet and Hugh...
Yeah.
He's in every English movie.
Yeah.
Hugh...
And something. And so, same, so we got to go...
McDonald
that's
McDonald
that's where the whole movie is based, in Surrey. Anyway, she's sick. And I hate telling her, make her throw her under the bus here, but she's sick and she's like really not. She's grouchy, as women can be. And so I said, well, I can't take you back to the hotel in London because it's going to be on the way to London, so we're not going to make it back. We can't be an hour and a half late going to their house.
Right.
And I kept saying, and it's going to be a castle. This is like rock royalty. And she's like, oh, one of your stupid rock and roll friends. I'm not going to the. She's thinking like Vinnie Paul's dorm room. And I go, no, this is Roger Taylor, right?
Yeah.
She doesn't know what I'm. She's, that's me talking French. She's like, what? I'm like, Roger Taylor. She's hearing. So
Art
we're driving,
Smith.
And the driver yeah. says to me. I said to the driver, I said, I'm getting directions from his wife. So I get the directions and I give it to him, and he says, oh, this is a lovely part of town. So we pull in, and I said, do you want to take a bet that it's a castle? She goes, yeah, I'll bet you. I said, what are we betting? She has no money. So I said, what are you betting? Blowjob? What are you betting? She's like, whatever. I said, bet just something. $50. She's like, okay, $50, you're on. It's a castle. She's like, it's not a castle. Whatever. I'm sick. Just take me there. Let's eat and go. Get on the phone. She's like, are you close, Scott? I said, yeah. We're just like, we're getting off the exit. She's like, just go down to the left, and you'll see these gates. And I'm like, gates? Da-da-da. And then we'll buzz you in. We get there. It's a goddamn castle. You can look it up online. Roger Taylor's house is a it's like 1850 whatever the hell.
And that's
was.
Legit. Like that's
legitimately
what happens
to me.
Like, a castle.
There's like 100 acres and it's a like Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so we pull in and she's like, "All right. $50, you got it." And she's like, "Oh my god." Then she felt like, "Oh my god, you're right." Best part all in the story. We have lunch. Had a butler make us lunch. It was like unbelievable. And then he says, Scott, it's in my studio. And I said, yeah. And she's like, I can tell she's sick. She's like, all right. Well, I can see now she's a little more in being more of a team player. Let's play. So we go to the studio, which is inside this castle. And it's like a huge thing. And it's like he's got 50 sets of drums, literally, maybe more. And an actual sound studio and stage. It looks like you just can't believe it. And so my girlfriend says, he must really like drums. I'm like, fuck. And I lose my mind. I look over, and Roger is, thank God he's old and he can't hear a goddamn thing. He had no idea. He goes, what, darling, what'd you say? I said, she says, she likes your drums. And he goes, oh, yeah. Well, I've got, these are all my drums. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, he's this fucking drummer from Queen. Like, right. She didn't know he was
a
drummer.
She wouldn't understand what he means.
She just thought he was in the band. Maybe he played woodblock or triangle or was a drummer player or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we became really good friends, and we still.
But
we
isn't
still
that amazing though? When you get that, like somebody who has mutual respect for what you do, and then you become friends with them
as
a result.
Absolutely, you know? Absolutely. And he respects me more than I respect. You know, in the same level like I'm like, no, you're a legend. I'm just an idiot. Like, you know what I mean?
But yet he came and saw your show and thought you're really funny.
Right.
So that I've blows often found that, like, this is a long story I've told many times, but Paul Stanley to me.
Told a longer one. Please tell one.
But Paul Stanley was
your audience is like.
Wake up. Hello, we're here with Terror Top. So Paul Stanley was like my hero of all heroes. And over the last year or so, I've become friends with him. And once you break down the wall of, oh my gosh, it's Paul Stanley. Ah, it's Roger Taylor. And then you realize it's just a dude who got lucky doing what he always wanted to do, just like you, just like me. And suddenly we're just dudes.
Yeah.
And that's a cool moment when that happens.
That does. That does know? Go away. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if Vince Neil and Rascal Flatts are singing you happy birthday.
No, but you do. You have that. But you do. Like, I'm friends with Vince now, so we you know, I've seen him in every different.
When you first met Vince, you're probably like, oh.
Yeah, because I was like, oh my God. I mean, I watched every video, like, when I was.
Sure.
A kid, I was like, that's
Motley Crue was God.
I want to be that guy.
Right. But you, in a way, kind of are that guy. In your world.
Right, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, dude, I'm laughing right now. Yeah. I pulled this out to look at it. I'm staying at the Luxor, I'm looking at the room key. Laugh until you're orange in the hair, Carrot Top. Yes. You are like the face of the Luxor at this point.
Yes, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's huge.
They need to reface it, but, you know. I know what you're saying.
Can
though,
we get a new face?
You do have that moment, though, where you are, like, what's funny was the other night when we got done with the show and they sang and they said good night. We came backstage and we were walking down the stairs to come back here, and I remember thinking, "Come on!" I mean, this is Vince is standing there next to me going, "Hey man, was that you know whatever?" And I'm like. Like you think someone's you know all the years there was someone walked him off stage with a flashlight
right
and
yeah
crew, and
he's
walking me off going hey yeah man and I'm like this is ridiculous it's surreal.
So you're on the road for years and years before you settled into your Vegas residency, and I know you got plenty of road stories, Top, and I want to talk about those fan interactions you've experienced, but first I got to give a big thank you to the sponsors of Talk is Jericho, including Diamond Dallas Page and DDP Yoga. All right, you guys know how much I love DDP Yoga, how it's changed my life for the better, both physically and mentally. You got to try, on top of that, the new DDP Yoga Now app. This has completely changed the whole program of DDP Yoga. Now, I use it all the time. It's the app I probably use the most on my device. The DDP Yoga Now app lets me do my workouts right from my phone, which is so easy. I don't need DVDs anymore. Throw those into the trash. Archaic, outdated. I got the DDP Yoga Now app. Took me right into the future. Dallas has thought of everything for this app. He's got a version for iPhones. He's got one for Android. You can even access exclusive live workouts from the DDP Yoga Performance Center, as well as cooking shows so you can learn healthier ways to make your food. He's got nutrition guides and a chart to track your progress. You can earn points on the app and redeem them for rewards and DDP Yoga merch. It's like I said, it's all on your phone or your device. You got a one-stop shop. You can do it anywhere, hotel room, dressing room, tour bus, wherever you want to do it. That's what I do. And how's this for a deal? Okay. DDP is hooking you guys up. If you buy the DDP Yoga program at ddpyoga.com/Jericho, you'll get 3 free months of the app. Change your life now. Get in the best shape of your life. This really works. You got back problems, hip problems. DDP Yoga can help you. All right. Take advantage of this amazing offer. Buy the DDP Yoga program now at ddpyoga.com/Jericho and get 3 free months of the DDP Yoga Now app with your paddle. Just get started today. ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Get in the best shape of your life and do it now.
It's your last chance to get great holiday savings at Guitar Center. Like a Yamaha portable keyboard, only $79. Add a month of lessons for only $99. Plus the newest and hottest guitars, drums, keys, and more. Exclusive gear you can't get anywhere else. Special financing and gift cards. The perfect present for every musician. So hurry in and find your sound at Guitar Center. Lessons available at select locations only.
All right, I'm in Carrot Top's dressing room at the Luxor. I saw the show. Great show. Very, very funny. Now, are you working 6 days a week?
Yeah, 6 days
a week. I mean, this is at the Luxor. Once again, all
my
jokes.
My manager has a car payment, so I work 6 nights a week.
Right. You've paid your car off a long time ago. But
no, my manager has a car
payment. That's what I'm saying. You've paid your car off a long time ago. You've got to work for this blob who still has to pay his car off.
Exactly.
But I'm saying, like, and this is not a joke. For the Luxor, obviously, if you're on the keys, this is like the entertainment is Carrot Top is a big part of this whole entertainment area called the Luxor. Do you do your show sometimes and see somebody in the crowd that you didn't know was here, or do you always know when somebody of notoriety shows up?
Well, no, we usually know because I don't like surprises, so we usually know if someone's there. But there has been times before in the past that I didn't know before here. Like I was playing Nashville, and I got done, and they were like, "Do you know the Dixie Chicks were out there?" And I was like, "Get out!" They go, "No, they were sitting like their row in their lap." I'm like, "I wish I would have known that." You know what I mean? Like, so,
right?
Yeah. But then you find out later on in life, and like the other night when I was at Rascal Flatts, they're like, "We just watch you in Nashville," and I'm like, "At the Zanies Comedy Club." I said, "I didn't know you were ever out there," you know. So it's kind of cool.
I love that it was called Zanies.
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 Oh, it's one of the biggest comedy clubs in the South.
In Winnipeg, it was Yuck Yucks.
Yuck Yucks and Zanies and Ha Ha's and Hee Hee's and yeah. There's so many of them. The Funny Bone, the Chuckle Bone.
Yeah. Now, as a comedian. It would seem to me that having this kind of your own theater in Vegas is a plum gig because you don't have to go on the road.
No, it's tremendous.
What are the pros and cons of having your own place where you never go anywhere? Is there any cons at all?
No, I fought it for years. When they first asked me about doing it, I said no. In fact, we used to do that. We were at the MGM for 10 years.
So we do our shows
and then we do on the road. So we do like a semi, kind of like what Elton John does now, where he comes in for like 2 weeks and then leaves and goes to back for, you know, a semi residency. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they asked me to do the residency full time here, and I said no. I actually turned it down.
And why is that?
Because I didn't. I like the road, and I didn't like playing Vegas, and I didn't think that playing Vegas I might want to hang myself. So I said no. I don't want that. I don't want that. And then they were like, they talked me into it. First year in was really rough. I couldn't quite get the rhythm of doing a show overnight, 6 nights a week in Vegas. And we were doing 2 at the time on Saturdays. So it was rough. I didn't have a house here yet. I was living in the hotel, and I was really miserable. I was like, I don't like this. I want to get out of this gig.
What's rough about it?
Well, because it didn't have the energy of the row, and you were kind of, it felt stagnant, and I didn't have my Vegas legs, and they were called bus legs. To do the show that I thought I could do. And then one day it hit me. I don't know what happened. I just kind of got into the rhythm. We finally got into the rhythm. And now I love Vegas. I would never change it in the world. The road's fun, and it's great to do. Like, we do small stints. We do out for, you know,
you just
10
you mentioned you did Canada.
Yeah, we did.
And
yeah,
places,
Canada. We
yeah.
do. And we did a run in Florida, Mississippi, where we did like 10 shows. energy was great. We had the tour bus, the whole nine yards.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, tour bus. Motley Crue, Nostra Reba, which is a true story because I pulled into it. It's not a joke. Well, I changed it to Reba just because it's still
here. It's great.
I look like
she has red hair,
female.
Red
yeah. But I pulled into in the tour bus years ago. My crew, my same crew, was still with me. We pulled into a Wendy's. And when it's, you know, when you're on the road, you can only eat, you know, wherever you can park.
Wendy's, though?
Yeah, it was a Wendy. Yeah, no, Wendy's. Same thing.
It could be you, right?
It could have been, yeah. So I pull into, she's here. No. Shit, she's here. Clean up. Wendy's here. So we pulled into this Wendy's, and I remember there's a Wendy's and a ice cream, the Dairy Queen next to it. It was like a whole, like a, you know, truck stop triple threat thing. So we pulled in, we got the bus, and we pulled in. And my crew remembers this. And we're standing there, and I order food, and these people were there, and they're like, they saw the tour bus, and they were like, dude. They're like, can we get a picture with you? And I said, yeah. They're like, man, Simply Red, man. And I was like, what's that? And they're like, Simply Red. And I go, yeah. And it's easier just to go along with it.
You got to, right?
Instead of change. So I said, yeah, I was. I mean, they say Shaun White. I go, yeah, Shaun. I saw Shaun
White. That's another one, Shaun White, yeah.
So I go, yeah, Simply Red. And he's like, no way, man. So now there's a whole bunch of black people. So they came over, and they're like, Simply Red, man. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, what's that mother song, man? And I go, what's that song you sing? And I go, well, I have a lot of songs. They go, no, what's the big fucking hit? I go, they're all hits. And they go, no, the one. So I swear to God in my life, what happened was this stupid little goddamn thing turned into this whole, like, I got myself into a lie I can't get out of. And I'm like, I don't know every song. They're all big. And he's like, no, the one, though, that was really big. And I'm like, I don't know.
I'm trying to think of it right now.
I don't even know. Right? I don't even know. And I'm like, oh, my God.
If you don't know me by now.
Oh, Missy, if I know you.
If you don't know me by now, is that the one?
If you don't know me by now.
If you will never know me. Or some shit.
That's the one.
Yeah.
But I wish guys, you should have been there to help me.
But guys, I guess, don't know that song. We should not know.
So they thought, I don't know. So I'm literally signing Simply Red. I'm taking pictures. I get on the bus, and this guy's like, Carrot Top. And this black guy goes, hey, who? Again, Carrot Top, Simply Red. I said, well, I have two. I go by Simply Red or Carrot Top. I got into a lie I couldn't get out of. Oh, my God.
Because you're trying to make the fans feel better.
Yeah.
I had that once when I was working at Zeller's in Winnipeg, which is the Canadian equivalent of Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
And this old lady thought my name was Dave. My name is Chris.
Nice.
And I had my name tag on. Whenever she came by, I would always cover my name tag or take it off for a year. I did not tell her that my name was not Dave because I didn't want to be rude.
Nice.
So she would. She comes to take my name.
Dave.
Yeah. Hey, Dave. Hey. And, you know, hey, Chris. Shh. You know, but that's the thing. You don't want to make him feel bad. So you get into this wormhole of a lie of Simply Red.
Yep.
How do you get out of it?
Same thing. I didn't know what to do. I just kept lying.
Right?
People always do that to me at the gym. Like, hey, Chris. Some guy at the gym calls me Chris every day. He's like, hey, Chris. And I'm always like, it was like a Seinfeld episode. They don't you at one point that you correct him? I said it's been too long now. He's always like, "Hey, Chris."
And
I
right.
Just go, I just go, "Chris." I go, "Hey, man." And then friends like Chris, and I go, "It's okay."
You and that
he
happens.
He calls me Chris every day.
In the WWE, I've been working there for 16 years, and there's people that were never introduced to me when I first got there. And you know, when you first get somewhere, there's 50 new names,
sure.
And there's still guys that I don't know their names.
Yeah.
But what do you say? Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to like look at their ID badges, and like I'm trying to pickpocket their wallets. But you know, that's just how it goes. Yeah, you just don't know for sure, right? But I mean, you're talking about being, going on the road and stuff, and being on a tour bus. And the idea of being on a tour bus is so cool until you actually get on one.
Nice.
It's nice, but it's
well,
not. Like,
Yeah, it is.
What's the number one rule of a tour bus?
Well, what do you mean? Well, there's a couple of number one rules.
What's giving me?
No, number two.
The number one rule of being on tour bus, people, is don't go number two. You can't go number two. Yeah, we got it.
I got it right.
You got the Simply Red wrong, but you got the first rule of the bus right.
Bus tour, yeah. I did. I've done too many bus tours. But, you know, when we just did the last tour in Florida, we actually had so much fun. And we're going through my hometown, so it was a lot of stress. Because
you're from Orlando, right?
Yeah, so all the hometown shows were like, they're full of... I mean, Hulk Hogan came to the one in
really.
Yeah, Hulk came to the one in Sarasota.
No kidding.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Well, funny story about Hulk. One of the first years times I did a show in Orlando. This is like almost 10, 15 years ago. It's a big theater. There's a bottom and then a balcony. And so there's this. It wasn't heckling. It was just someone like he kept chiming in on every goddamn joke, right? And I remember going like, yeah, okay, cool, whatever. Like, it was just weird. And after the show, at my meet and greet, my green room, and da-da-da, they brought people back. And Hulk Hogan walks back, and I said, Hulk Hogan's here. He's like, I said, you're the fucking one that was yelling at me? He goes, yeah. I was like, it was just so funny because he wasn't heckling me. He was just trying to. I said, well, I don't need your help. I wrote it without your help.
Right.
I don't need you there. It's but we've been friends for a good long time. Yeah, maybe almost 20 years probably.
And so you grew up in Orlando?
I grew up in Cocoa Beach and then Orlando, yeah.
Which, are you a wrestling fan?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, because that was a big wrestling area.
Yeah, and I did some stuff for the WWF when I did AT&T commercials. We did a whole...
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did a whole thing where I was in a... Oh, my God.
I forgot about that. AT&T commercials were huge.
Yeah, I went to the one in Connecticut where the big home...
Stamford.
Headquarters. And we did a whole commercial there. I got beat up and da-da-da.
Really?
Yeah, it's cool.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Like, I was not aware of that fact. But it's, you know, it's funny tonight though when you were showing some of the clips, like you're acting.
I know Ric Flair too very well.
Yeah. What does he do? Is he a monkey now?
Is he woo
woo
whoa?
He goes woo
woo. Whatever I'm doing wrong. But I live in Charlotte, so I always saw him. I always saw him at the gym and whatever, and he was always like, "Care Doc, woo."
Make him sound like a regular woo.
He's an ape now. Well, he's old. He's older. He's older.
What is that?
He can't. This is him.
Oh
now.
Yeah, who let the dogs out?
Well, he's older now. He's like, ooh. He can't ride the way he used to do. I don't know.
But here's funny.
Get me beat up. Don't get me beat up.
Your act is so well put together, and the one thing I like tonight is you're showing some clips that I hadn't seen before. Finally, some new material. Thank God. It was you on Star Search. Now here's the thing, I used to be obsessed with Star Search. Okay.
Yeah,
every Sunday night it was on. So when I was a kid, you have to go to bed by 10:30.
Yep.
And 9 to 10 was Star Search. So that was the end of my weekend for me. So when Star Search was over, it was time. Oh, I got to go to bed and got to wake up. And there's three Sinbad.
Yeah, it's Sinbad.
Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
Who, if I could have voted at the time, I would have. And Carrot Top. I remember this.
Really?
And you showed it tonight.
Yeah.
And I thought that you...
Well, that's what was fun for me, too, because being on that show was such a big deal to me because of the fact, what you just said, growing up with it. Younger people now are people that watch... Like, the older people probably appreciate it, but as an entertainer or wanted to be an entertainer...
This was like the first version of American Idol
or The Voice, where fans had a say
in who would win.
No, that was the... That's what I'm saying. That was The Voice, the American Idol, all that.
And the first version of that.
Absolutely. It was the first version. And that's why when I did that, it was such a special moment for me to be on that show. I couldn't believe it. I mean, before I did The Tonight Show and all those, I was like, oh, my God, I'm on Star Search. I watched it as a kid.
Right.
So it was the same thing as going on The Tonight Show and standing on the star where Johnny stands. So I was like, holy f-. There's not. I just hope that younger people now still have those things that we did growing up, because everything's gotten so commercialized and so big and broad. There's thousands of TV shows and thousands of channels. We only had 2, 6, and 9. You know, we had
that's right.
So,
and it happened to be in Sunday night. That was one of the shows.
Right,
Star Search,
right,
yeah.
Indeed. So that was like such a big deal to me. So I wonder about kids now. Do they have that same? I guess it would be The Voice or be American Idol.
But I don't know if it's the same thing though, dude. Because like. I mean, how hard was it for you to get on that show?
Oh, it was really hard. Yeah, no.
Like you're starting on Orlando as a young comic.
No,
did
I
you
couldn't
send
believe
a
it.
Tape,
I still can't believe I do this every night. Growing up, I honestly am one of those people that I've never taken it for granted. I always think it's so weird. I thought about today. I remember because I was my nephew, and I remember he was playing lacrosse, and I remember in the car.
I saw that on your Instagram. Your nephew played a game today.
17-0.
I was going to say 17-0. I was going to tell you 17-0.
He's a hot shot.
And that was here in Vegas, or was that?
Yeah, here in Vegas. Okay. Yeah. And so I was just driving the car, and I remember reflecting, thinking about the fact that how the hell did I be? I remember driving in my little pickup truck, my little one trunk of props, to do a gig for like $100, and it was a lot of money.
Sure.
The $100 paid for
like
everything
Destin,
for a
Florida
month.
Or something.
Yeah, Destin, real good. I did play Destin. And then my friend said,
Sanford.
Sanford. Yeah, I got you a gig for $250, and I was like, $250? Like, yeah.
What?
Yeah. That paid for the whole month.
Right.
So I was like, you know, and I'm thinking like, and here I am like, Rascal Flatts and Motley Crue are singing to me on my birthday, and I get to do a show overnight. It's weird that, but I've never ever stopped thinking about that thing. You know,
I never
got absorbed into that. I still think it's phenomenal that I get to do this.
But you understand, because you came through this the right way in show business. David Lee Roth said it, and you'll know this quote, here today, gone later today. Yeah, yeah. And that really is the truth. Like, you constantly have to be hustling. I don't care if you have your own theater at the Luxor with your own room. You could show up next week, and if you're not holding your weight, you could show up next week and you know, the Amazing Jonathan has moved in or whatever.
Yeah, like, that's not going to happen. But anybody else, that's not going to happen.
But you know what I mean? Like, you have to.
I love the Amazing Jonathan. He's one of the only people that maybe he makes me cry out loud. Like, literally, he's one of my best friends. Hey, I'll tell you a story. We had a barbecue at my house. This is years ago when I first moved into my house. Had a volleyball thing. This is how retarded he is. Retarded, I mean, in a good way, not like retarded. We're having volleyball, and he says, I had a Hummer at the time. He says, I just got a new Hummer. I say, really? He said, you want to go see it? And I go, yeah.
I mean the vehicle, the Hummer.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He walks me out. Now, he walks me all the way from my backyard, the thing to the house, the driveway, all the way down the goddamn street. And his friend is sitting on a rock in front of my house going, And I go, are you f***ing shitting? That's such Jonathan, right? It's so Jonathan. His Hummer. Here's his Hummer. And he's waiting there. I'm like, the funniest part is that you sat there for an hour waiting for me to come out just to do your hum. But it's like, I never ever forgot that. I was like, God damn it.
It's like, give me a C, a high C, and you'll
Jesus
C Christ. Over your head,
so
right?
I see my new Hummer? But I bit right into it. Went out to the
street. Well, you were out there.
Where is it?
There you go. So I want to ask you about something you mentioned a few minutes ago. Star Search, man. I used to watch that every Sunday night. You were a contestant, and I want to hear about that experience. But before you tell us about it, I got a question for all the Talk is Jericho listeners. This is an important one. Have you ever wondered why razors are one of the only items at the drugstore that are kept under lock and key? It's because of the hefty price tag. People are going to steal them if they don't lock them up. But it's ridiculous. Why would you lock up razors? This ain't Fort Knox, right? And you guys know that good razors are expensive, but we got to change that, okay? Two dudes, just like you and me, started Harry's.com, all right? And what is Harry's.com? Harry's.com sells high-quality blades that provide a close, comfortable shave for half the price you pay at the store. I love my Harry's razors, okay? I'm actually using Harry's starter set called the Truman. Sounds great, the Truman. It's a great deal. For just $15, you get a razor handle, the moisturizing shave cream, and three of Harry's five-blade German-engineered razors. German engineering. I know that caught your ear. That sounds very technical. Harry's actually owns their own razor blade factory in Germany. The factory's been cranking out amazing high-quality blades for over 90 years. That's insane. Over 90 years making razor blades. You know you got to check this out with that type of longevity. If you use my promo code Jericho, you'll get $5 off your first purchase. All right. Any of the razors we've talked about in the past, Harry's are the way to go. Use the promo code Jericho. Get $5 off at Harry's.com. That's HARRYS.com. Get the smooth shave that you need to get the ladies. Go to Harry's.com and do it now. All right, we're sitting here with Carrot Top. We're going to talk about how he got started in comedy, what role The Tonight Show had and all that. He also did David Letterman a handful of times, had some interaction with Dave, the cranky curmudgeon. We'll get into those stories. But before we do, I think there's something about TrueCar that a lot of you still don't know, and that is using TrueCar and the TrueCar app can also help you buy a used car, okay? Over 500,000 pre-owned vehicles available for TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. So whether you're looking for a brand new car or a gently used car, you can get upfront pricing information from TrueCar so you can enjoy a better buying experience. Using TrueCar and the TrueCar app lets you see what other people paid for the car you want so you can determine a fair price and feel confident when you buy your car, okay? TrueCar connects you with a local certified dealer of your choosing. I know because I use this in Tampa. Got my new TrueCar purchased SUV all signed up through TrueCar. And the TrueCar certified dealer will honor your guaranteed savings, which makes your car buying process quicker and easier. TrueCar users, get this, save an average of $3,279 off MSRP. That's sticker price. I just learned that. And over 2 million cars have been sold to the TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. You know they know what they're doing, all right? And don't worry about finding a certified dealer. There's over 11,000 in TrueCar's massive nationwide network. I used TrueCar to buy my new car, and it really was that quick and easy. This is not a gimmick. This is true. TrueCar hooked me up with a dealer. My guaranteed savings were honored, no problem, and I got a great price on my new car.
car. What more do you want? I didn't have to sit in the car dealership and just hang out there all day. I got it all taken care of via TrueCar.com. So when you're ready to buy a new or used vehicle, visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app to enjoy a better car buying experience. I know I did. This really works. And remember, some features are not available in all states. All right, let's get back to Carrot Top.
But when you actually, I want to ask you about a couple things that you mentioned earlier. When you did the Star Search,
yep.
What was the environment like? Because you're a young guy and you're up against somebody
else.
Ed McMahon is involved. Did you get any one-on-one with Ed McMahon at all?
Oh, yeah. No, we became best friends after that. Seriously. I'm not even kidding you.
How do you become best friends with Ed McMahon?
I don't know. But somehow we befriended each other. I did the show. I'll tell you what happened. I did the show and I lost first round. And everybody, I was supposed to be the projected winner because everybody was saying Carrot Top's going to win this thing. He's got the props. He's got the thing. And I lost Bob Zaney. Bob Zaney was here last night. He came over and gave me my
really.
Yeah, he gave me that Dumb and Dumber book, Dumb and Dumber for Dummies. And he came back here. And we're like best friends, me and Bob.
He's the guy that beat you on Star Search.
Yeah, but we're like.
And the fact his name is Bob Zaney.
Bob
really?
Zaney. I know, Zaney.
Bob Wacky.
I'm telling you,
Bob Guffaw. I mean, come
yeah,
on.
But
man.
He did. But anyway, he did beat me.
He still beat you.
And he's awesome. I love Bob. Yeah. Funny guy. So he came back. Anyway, we did the thing, beat me. And then somehow I was doing all the Tonight shows at the time. I was doing a lot of Tonight shows, and he would show up still. Ed McMahon, not even that he wasn't working there, but he's still kind of a support. A lot of the people that Tonight Show still kind of showed, and he said hi to me, and then I did the telethon, the Jerry Lewis telethons, and he was really involved with the telethon, and so half the time that I came on, if it wasn't Jerry Lewis that introduced me, it was Ed McMahon,
though,
Ed McMahon was like, and he did the dart and he rode a car top, and I did the show, and then after the show, all of a sudden, I remember I was at a baggage claim at LAX. And I said, "Hey, Ed," and he was like, "Carrot Top," and he's like, "Here's my number. Call me." So we became really good friends, and I would call him all the time. And he'd call my office all the time, and then he got really sick. He had that mold in his house.
Yeah.
That's how he died.
What?
It's the strangest thing in the world. He had that mold that's in your house, and he and his wife,
they always say can be very bad for your health.
Right, and he was 80 something. I don't know how old he was at the time. He was 80 something. And one day he called the office, and my secretary said, "Oh my God, Ed McMahon just called here. Is that really him?" I said, "Yeah, it's Ed." And we spoke and talked, and then like a month later he passed away from
the mold.
From the mold. It was
Are you kidding me?
I swear my life. But Ed McMahon was actually a really, really dear friend of mine. Isn't that weird? After all these years of watching him as a kid, I mean, literally as a kid, sitting in my room watching. I remember literally sneaking out into my house and watching that show, the Tonight Show, on this. My dad built this out of his own hand, built this goddamn wood cabinet with a TV in it. And I would sit there and watch. And my mom would say, "Go to bed. What are you doing?" I said, "I'm watching the Tonight Show." And I watched Don Rickles and Jonathan Winters and all those guys.
All those guys.
And George Carlin. And I really, that's when I got fascinated with comedy.
From the Tonight Show.
Watching the Tonight Show and those guys. And I remember it was Jonathan Winters, Don Rickles, and George Carlin. I remember those three, and Bill Cosby as well. And I remember thinking, "Oh my God, this is what I want to do." But I didn't know how to do it. I just remember saying, "How do you get that? Is that a job?"
Yeah. How does that become a thing?
You go to clown school or whatever. I never knew. And then you just fast forward life, and I don't even know.
Well, how did you do it?
Like, it's a bizarre thing.
But before you answer that, and I want you to answer that, but you're talking about prop comedy, which is your gig. But you're a stand-up guy, too. You do a lot of stand-up. But I'm thinking prop comedians. I can't. The only
Gallagher.
Guy
Gallagher.
I was going to say Gallagher.
That's the only guy I can think of is Gallagher.
He
was my hero.
Really?
Yep.
From the Carson show, you saw Gallagher on it?
Gallagher on there and make me laugh.
Gallagher would do the thing where he would smash the hammer.
No, he had his props and his jokes. He was really funny. He was how do you drive in a parkway and park on a driveway? He always had these. Right, why do they call them buildings when they're done building? They should call them builds. He had always these brilliant lines. Really, really, really smart stuff. In fact, he's a genius. So I'm like 16 years old, maybe 15 years old, and living in Cocoa, Florida, 2 doors down. Was this general, the Army general, 4-star general, General Manis. His daughter married Gary Proper, who was Gallagher's manager.
Oh, what?
Right.
What a coincidence.
So I don't know this. So Ruthie and Gary were there once in a while, and I just knew Gary, and Gary says, you want to come to this Gallagher show? And I said, what's Gallagher? And he says, the comedian. And my dad knew of Gallagher. I didn't know. And so I went down to Melbourne at this weird, like, skate expo. It was like a skating thing, and then Gallagher performed. And I'm 15, maybe 14, and I'm like, oh, my God, this was brilliant. He was so funny. So fast forward, I knew him for a long time. So then I go to college, and then I started doing comedy in college. And I get invited to go to the concert in Fort Lauderdale, which was at the time, this is the biggest, it was like 5,000 seat theater, right? And I remember seeing him in like a 200 seat little skate expo. So I go, Gary picks me up, takes me there, and I'm like, holy shit, this is like the real deal, like, right? It's like the Coliseum here. So I watch the show, and I'm like, I'm blown away. They bring me backstage, and Gallagher says, hey, and I said, I hear you doing comedy. And I said, yeah, give me one of your jokes. And I said,
what
oh.
What do you do, right?
I freaked out. I was only 16 years old. Or no, I was in the college now, so I was like 20. Yeah. And he's like, I said, what's one of your jokes? I'm on the spot. So I said, you're living in Florida, because that's where I lived, and it was in Florida. I said, you can't have a fire on the beach. I said, you can have one in the woods, but you can't have a fire on the beach, which is still true to this day. You can't have
that's
a fire in the beach. Big signs. They still have little signs, no fires on the beach. So I said, well, you're next to two things that put fires out, this water and sand. Why can't you have a fire on the beach? But you can take it in the woods.
Right.
And he goes, that's good, but you're giving the punchline away. And he did some weird explanation of the thing.
He helped you out.
And then I did and I came up with some other joke. And then I was with him in Vegas, my first time ever in Vegas. I was like 20. No, 17 at the time. That's why. Going back far. I was 17 years old. I was at the Sands with him. And I'm walking to the stage with him. And there's a big door. And they still, well, it's gone now, but it was a big, you see these doors all the time, like a big, like, door. And the big spray paint on it says, this door must remain closed at all times. You see this all the time. So I'm standing there, and he's banging on the door, trying to get in the backstage. And he's banging on the door, and I said, well, it says this door must remain closed at all times. Why is there even a f-ing door? There shouldn't be a wall. And he goes, what? I said, well, it says door must remain closed at all times, and there should be a wall. And he goes, I like that. So that night on stage in the Sands, he did the joke, and he goes, my friend Scott wrote that. And I'm like, hi. And I never forget that. I was 16.
Why were
old.
You out in Vegas with Gallagher?
Because Ruthie and Gary invited me out.
Okay.
Even knowing that I wanted to be a comedian. And then going back, fast forward to becoming a comedian, going backstage and at that concert when I was 20, he would give me one of your jokes, and I told him one
that's
of my jokes.
That's amazing.
Then the next thing I know, I call Gary. He was living in Hawaii at the time, and I said, Gary, I'm on the Tonight Show tonight. And he says, what's on the Tonight Show? I said, I'm on the Tonight Show. And he goes, I don't understand. I said, I'm on the Tonight Show tonight. And he's like, doing what? I said, my act. I'm on the Tonight Show. And I think it kind of blew everybody away that I was. And Gallagher, I think, got pissed in a sense, because you think you'd be like this guy, like, hey, you know, we've now become friends again. But I think he gets got jealous, like, what? My protege, thank you. He should have been like, fuck yeah, I'll give you some critique it. I'll give you what my pointers or whatever you did right or wrong. But anyway, it felt.
But he was mad that you were on.
Felt,
he wasn't.
I think he felt it was a threat that this young stupid kid, which I am still this day, made it on the Tonight Show. So anyway, I did really well, and then I called and I said, "What'd you think?" He says, "Holy shit, I can't believe this. You're this 14-year-old kid that lived next to me in Orlando." And,
were you 14 on the Tonight Show?
No.
Oh, you were.
When he met me, I was 14.
Sure.
And so to fast forward to becoming an actual comedian on the Tonight Show, he was like, what the f-? And I said, to this day, I still say the same thing. So now Gallagher and I have actually become really good friends again. He comes here all the time, and he gives me shit. He gives me shit, basically.
Because like I was thinking,
I'm like, you're my hero. You do understand. He's like, yeah, whatever.
But he
really is my hero.
Did you ever hear, and this might even be true, I'm going to say rumor, but does he have a twin brother?
His brother.
Who also performs as Gallagher?
There's a whole story about that.
And you don't know which Gallagher is which?
It was Gallagher and Gallagher 2. And they advertised it as T-O-O, right? So it was Gallagher 2, so people were confused.
Oh, again, Gallagher 2.
And Gallagher 2 is also, but no, it's 2. But anyway, that was a weird thing that happened. Yeah.
I know, I was just curious if that was a real thing or not.
Well, I had a horrible joke, and I even told Gallagher this. I said, my joke was Gallagher 2, audience nothing. because the audience has got screwed because it wasn't Gallagher. Gallagher had the charm and the wit and the charisma, and he's the one that wrote the goddamn shit, right?
His brother.
And his brother was just, but sadly enough, his brother is actually a sweetheart and a really good guy on top of it, so I kind of felt bad when the whole thing went down. But with that
the
said,
chance of the twin Gallaghers.
Well, they were literally twins. You would never know them apart.
So you would never know which Gallagher you
no,
had.
No, you would never know what
you
Gallagher
know which
you had.
One was which.
Thank God there's only one Carrot Top because people would revolt. Carrot Top
did
2.
You,
no, please tell me you're kidding.
When you did Tonight Show, was that with Carson?
I wish it was with Carson. No, it was with
with Jay?
Tim Allen. Or Allen.
Tim Allen.
Not Tim Allen.
Tim Allen or
no,
the other
one. What's the first?
Steve Allen?
Steve Allen. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I ruined the joke. If it was Steve Allen, you're like, Steve Allen. You were young.
50s.
Wow.
Yeah. How old are you?
Yeah.
Are you 100?
No, I wish it was with Carson. I knew Carson's booking agent guy for years, Jim McCauley. And he was always one of these guys. I was this young buck growing up and doing the comedy scene. And everyone was like, Carrot Top this, Carrot Top that. And he was like, I said, you know, can I do the show? And he's like, Carson's not a, he just doesn't like variety. He was honest with me. He said, I think he would like you as a, he just doesn't do variety.
Variety meaning props?
Yeah, props and juggling and anything that's variety, which is strictly monologist.
Ed Sullivan type shit.
He was strictly monologist. That's what he wanted to do, which, you know, you respect it. The same with Letterman. I did Letterman 10 times, but I was always doing a skit. I never did my act. I did skits on there. I would go on as a and
interesting.
Do it. Yeah.
So there was
and he loved Letterman was great. I did one of my favorite skits I did with him was the Olympics. And they had all the this is great. All the Olympics were happening and it was, you know, they were hosting the Olympics. It was the network and it was the judges. So the Olympic judges would judge and they put all the cards up like a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever.
Yeah, your vote.
And right. So Letterman was in bed with a girl. And she held up a 4, and I'm in the bed with the girl, and they held up a 10. I was like, "What the?" He's like, "What the?" So it was really fun. Like I trumped him on the thing, and then after we shot it, I came into his. He never says hi to anybody. He came into the room, and I remember being so like one of those guys. Like I, to this day, still like I never had enough chance to like really
right,
talk to him. Like I do Jay. Leno's like, you know.
He'll come and talk to you.
Oh, Jay's
the
great.
Show.
No, yeah. Jay's great. He's phenomenal.
His jean shirt on.
And his jean shoes and his jean
Canadian
hat.
Tuxedo.
His jean. His jean. His car is made out of jeans. His whole thing.
That's a true story. Yeah.
So anyway, I was. He walked in and he's like, thanks for coming. And all I remember is he was so tall and
Letterman.
Tan.
Letterman?
Letterman.
With a cigar?
Tall and tan. He had a hat on and he had a cigar. He's sucking
on it.
Oh,
it was a cigar, yeah.
He had a cigar. And I remember he goes, thanks for coming. I said, are you kidding me? This is like, I've died for this. And he went to the door and I was like, well, that was it? And he's like, that's pretty much it. And then he walked back in and he says, really? You would die for this? I said, yes. And he was like, okay. And he did the thing and he walked out and she's like, he never does that. So he liked me.
He came back.
But I never, yeah, he came back in again and said something like, but I remember it being so tan. It was like tan. It's like,
which is
it was
weird.
Like this brown, like leather tan hat and tall.
Yeah.
But with a cigar. Nice. Yeah. But I love Letterman. One of the best.
Maybe for late night hosts?
Ever.
But I'm a Johnny Carson fanatic, but take Johnny out of the equation. I think Dave's the best.
Yep.
I do.
I gotta be honest.
And
yeah.
Honest too. I think from nowadays, I think Jimmy Fallon is pretty badass too.
Fallon's great.
Yeah.
He's really, really good.
Yeah,
yeah. He's taking it to a new level. Actually, I think.
So when you do like you're ensconced, good word, in Vegas, do you still go do talk shows and stuff like
oh,
that?
Absolutely.
If you have new material,
yeah, yeah, absolutely.
To try.
Absolutely.
What would predicate you to do a new talk show? New material?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So you would want to try new stuff out?
Yeah, with Jay, it was always like whenever I had a set, I would just call them and say, I have another set.
That's great.
And they'd bring me on. And
open invitation.
Yeah. So I would come up with all my, you know, Oscar, like the Oscar, white Oscar tonight.
Which is great.
That would have been very clever.
Let me just say, he had an Oscar statue that was completely painted white, which was very good.
Yeah, so it's timely and so that kind of stuff. Yeah, that would have been great tonight, though, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have that relationship yet with Fallon, but yet I don't know if he knows that I'm, you know, he's
Did
one
you
of my
exist?
Favorites. No, okay. That I exist, but I think, no, they... I think he's made a few references to me. They all make jokes. They all make jokes.
They all make jokes, bastards. So when you, and this is the most cliche question, but are you constantly coming up with new stuff?
You have to.
Is it you by yourself? Do you have a couple guys helping you out? Hey, man, you should try this. Or is it just you?
No, it's pretty much just me, really. I mean, I have my crew that I can throw it off of, you know. Usually I kind of run it by them, but I don't. I just do it because I believe in it. And if it eats it, then they go, "What was that?" But I think of the jokes and then I just do it and give it a shot. And if it works, it works. It doesn't work.
You know your shtick now after so many years of doing this.
30 years I've been doing this, so yeah.
30 years of doing
prop. I know, the lighting is good in here. I look good. 30 years.
Now, does it, let me ask you this, because it seemed like there was a little prejudice when you were talking about Johnny didn't like Variety, being a prop comedian. Is that a bad thing?
Not at all. I live it. I love it. That's what I am. Because
you're like the epitome, the top guy in that.
I just think it's silly when people say, "Are you offended if they call you prop comic?" No, that's what I am. But I really am. But I want people to think that when they think of that. I want them to think prop comic, they think of me. But I also want them to, when they see the show, they'll say, you have more than to you than just that. A lot of comics come to the show and they're like, "Why do people call you prop comic? You're half your show's just stand up." I said, "It doesn't matter. As long as people have fun and laugh." I mean, I've never thought about that title. I just think, did you come to the show? Did you laugh? That's what you do. It's a comedy show. So it doesn't matter if it's labeled prop comedy or monologist comedy or
what does monologist mean?
Monologist is just someone that just uses words. George Carlin never did any, just monology, just props and no props and just talking. But I always never wanted to be that. That's what's so funny. From very early on, I knew I wasn't going to be George Carlin. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be, or Bill Cosby. I wanted to just do my thing. So I wanted to have strobe lights and music. And I did that.
The rock and roll element.
Right. And a lot of comedy clubs back in the day wouldn't book me.
Why is that?
Because I did that. They were like, "We don't want that." There's a club in Atlanta called The Punchline. Another funny name. They wouldn't book me because I did Variety. However, they did book Amazing Jonathan. Amazing Jonathan was nothing but Variety. But he had an in with a guy. Maybe they did coke together. I don't know. But I'm kidding. But he never shared his coke with me, Amazing Jonathan. It's amazing. It's amazing he never shared.
Amazing, Jonathan.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I just kept going and plugging and didn't give a shit. Like, I was like, this is what I do. This is what I want to do. And everyone that always makes fun of me for my props, I always think it's silly because, you know, one time I was watching The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and one of my favorite people in the world is your greatest day on earth when you go back and you have to review your life. It's a wonderful
Mel Brooks?
No,
Jackie Mason? No. Carl Reiner?
Younger.
Pauly Shore?
No, the one where he sits in a room and they play his tape back and they go, "Oh shit, I was an asshole," and they get hit by a bus.
Is it a comedian?
Brooks,
Mel Brooks.
Not Mel Brooks.
I said
Albert Brooks.
Albert Brooks. I said Mel Brooks.
You did. That's why I went.
Albert Brooks.
Albert Brooks. So I love him, right? He's one of my like funny. He's just brilliant to me,
right?
Like. And so I'm literally, I remember this, I'm like, I think we were on the tour bus even, and I'm watching him on The Tonight Show. And then all he says is like, "You know, he used to juggle plates. He used to do this plate thing with the spinning plates." And
he literally showed the spinning plates.
He showed the thing of him on The Tonight Show doing that bit.
Albert Brooks used to do that?
And then it said, that's what brings me up to contemporary comics like Carrot Top. And I'm like, oh my God, the fact that he even knew me freaked me out, right?
Right.
So I'm like, oh my God, what's he gonna say? And he goes, and everybody laugh. And he goes, "You know, but with Carrot Top, you know, if American Airlines lost his luggage, he wouldn't have an act."
Mm.
And I was thinking, well, no shit. But if American Airlines lost the Rolling Stones amps or guitars, they wouldn't have an act. My act is that. So I was always like, it offended me then because I'm like, why is that a put down? That's my act. That doesn't make any sense to me. Because that is what my act
was. If American Airlines lost Iron Maiden's luggage, they'd have no Eddie walking on stage.
They'd have, right.
Which is the centerpiece of their act.
Right. So my point was, like, it was insulting me, and the crowd laughed. And I'm like, why are they laughing? That is my act. I wanted to be there and say, no, that's what, of course, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, that's the only kind of stuff that, like, I get mad about. I'm like, well, yes.
But that's not really the truth, though, because tonight half of your stuff is stand-up stuff, And there's
but
there's
I think
your
back
props.
Then I probably wouldn't have been.
I gotcha.
Because I think back then I didn't have the confidence that I have to do stand up that I did now that I do now. So back then it was that,
but it's props, props, props.
But that's what it was, and so I got hurt because I was like, that is, you know, I've been out of shape. So with that said, no, being a prop comic is
let me ask you this:
so awesome. It's what made me be Carrot Top.
Well, it makes you different from the rest. But like, for example, wrestling wise, the number one rule you learn is never check your gear. Like, you always have your boots and your tights. So no matter what happens, as long as you have your carry on,
check your nuts. Yeah, check your
but gear. I mean, so is there ever like, dude, would you put a couple things in your carry on bag just in case?
Nice.
Like, I got my five or six good ones.
I should have.
Put the white Oscar in there. Put the Ellen DeGeneres coffee cup.
I have thought of that. That's funny. I have thought of that. Think of it. I think more of it now because I was doing a Regis and Kathy Lee back in the day. I live in Charlotte, so it's got to have been 20 years ago when Regis and Kathy Lee were still doing the show. I had my trunk of stuff, and I had it all prepped and planned. It was like, you know, 20 killer props. And I go to the airport, and I give my trunk, and they knew me back then really well. And I said, please, I'm going to this TV show. Make sure this stuff gets on the plane, you know. I said, oh, my God, come on, Scott, please. I said, no, please, make sure, double check, triple check, because I'm going – No, I can't make this up. So I go, as a U.S. Air, I'm sitting on the plane. It's like 7 in the morning, maybe even earlier than that, because I had to go tape it that morning. So I left at like 5:30 in the morning probably because it's a 9 o'clock taping. So I'm sitting on the plane. I have my coffee, and I look out the window, and I shit you not, I look out, and the conveyor belt going into the belly of the plane next to us, I see my f***ing trunk with flowers on it, right? So I go, what the fuck? Am I being punked? I go, what the fuck? So I go, oh my God. So I get up and we're like, they already closed the door. I'm like, oh, please, we're leaving. Please save your seats. And I'm like, wait. And the girl's like, sir, you have to sit down. We're on an active taxiway. So I said, okay, we're on an active taxiway. Wait, I said, hold on. My luggage is going on the plane next to us. How do you know? It's a trunk covered in flowers. And they're like, seriously, they're like, are you sure? I said, yes, it's right there. And I said, that's my TV show. So luckily the pilot was a fan. He would knock on the door, and the pilot was like, what? And they said, we have to stop. The Carrot Top stuff's going on the plane next to us. And they stopped the thing. I see them bring the trunk back down, put it on our plane. And everybody's like waiting, and I'm like.
Well, that's pretty rare.
Literally, I'm like, sorry.
Prop comic.
But I never forgot that. I was like.
If
I had never even thought to glance out the window or whatever, I was like, holy shit, there goes my.
There's your act.
Yeah, so thank God they pulled it back, and I did the show, and it was good.
But when you're first starting, like, you know, on smaller.
Are people tired of me talking yet?
No, okay. This is great. This is all genius. Every word you've said,
oh God.
Mr. Top, has been genius. Do people.
Sounds like Gene Simmons, yes.
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 How was it for you when you first show up, like, in these smaller comedy clubs with, like, giant prop cases? Like, you know, if some comedians just show up with a microphone, that's all they need.
No.
You need cases.
I was one of a kind. I showed down in the improv, Bud Freeman. I came through the thing, and Bill Maher and Jerry Seinfeld, and I had my trunk of shit.
Wow.
And they would go... They'd say, I never forget, they'd say, you do five, you do a trunk, you do five, you know. And it was always, allotted by the how many trunks I had. Seriously. I mean, I ain't kidding you. I was
you
like,
do five,
I,
minutes,
you do five,
minutes,
you do five,
minutes,
you 10 minutes, you do a trunk. And like, how much is your trunk? Five minute trunk. Yeah. But I would drag all my shit, and they would, oh my God, it was crazy. Back, especially doing the comedy clubs in L.A., because it was, you know, you're just doing guest sets, and you'd have to drag. I'd drag my stuff, and I'd sit with it and go set it up, and have to, and then tear it down, and wait for all the comics to get done, then bring it back, and then load it up, and then drag it to my truck. But and every comic in the world back then used to tell me, you're not going to be doing this. You're not going to drag this shit the rest of your fucking life. You're going to just have an act. This is my act. Stop saying that.
Yeah.
So they did. They gave me shit all the time. They're like, you're not going to drag this shit. I said, no, I'm going to have people drag it.
Yeah.
So now
roadies.
Now I have people drag it. So.
Is there some stuff that you think of that you, like, how do you find all these different props? You just go to Walmart and look for this and this?
Yeah, or? Some I find and some I make, you know.
How do you make them?
I just make them. I have the idea, like the popcorn tub with the thing.
Yeah.
I have the idea. The joke is it's a popcorn tub for women when they go see 50 Shades of Grey. So I'm thinking, what would that be? It's a popcorn tub with a finger that kind of goes like this, you know. And then I draw it out, I sketch it out, draw it, and then I I go find the stuff to make it. Yeah. I get a hand, then I buy a popcorn tub, and then I get a motor, and then I literally build the motor into the hand and put a button, and yeah.
How are you building motors in the hands?
Like, I know. My dad was an engineer. Yeah, my dad was a NASA engineer, so I got some of that from him, I think. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
You're still doing this yourself?
Yeah. I have a guy that helps me, but I still come up with them myself, and then if it's something that's that hard, I have him build it, yeah.
What's the hardest prop you've ever had to make?
That was one. It was kind of hard.
The popcorn diddler.
I have another one that was a Thunder from Down Under. It was a male torso with a dildo that had, each nipple had left nipple had a button you push that would make the dick go up, and then the left one would make it shake. So I go, and I go, it's still backstage, and it kills you. You're right in the front row. There's some girl in the front row, and you go, and it's brilliant. It's great, and if it works, you're like, God damn it! And then I had one not work tonight. The tampon purse didn't work. So yeah.
How did it not work?
Yeah, I don't know. I said the kids in the sweatshop. That one up, but yeah.
Well, yeah, the shake weight
worked.
That worked great.
Thank you.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. Just a couple more questions. What's your favorite prop that you've had?
Oh, man, I don't know.
Let me rephrase
the
question.
Well, yeah, I have one.
Go ahead.
I mean, I have a couple. One, George Carlin came up to me one time and said—
You met George Carlin?
I knew George Carlin really well.
Wow, that's great.
And one of my heroes, I got to meet him. And the joke that I remember, I did a TV show. I don't remember. I think it was a Christmas special. And it was a whole bunch of comics, me and him and a couple other people. And I did my set, and I came off, and he came over to me. And he's like, "That was funny as shit." And I said, "What?" You know, the whole, you know, my set. I said, "Oh, cool." And he's like, "No, seriously, that was good shit, man." And I said, "Really?" I'm like, "Oh, my God." I had a telephone. Remember the paper cups and string?
Yeah.
So it was a paper cup and string joke, and the joke was there's two cups of string with paper cups. And I used to go, "Hey, what's going on?" I said, "This is the old version. We need an updated version of the paper cup and string for kids today." So another cup came out for call waiting. So I said, "I have another call," and another cup came out. I said, "I'm on another call. I got to call you back." And then three cups would come out, and I said, "It's conference calling." And then I'd throw it. It would call forwarding. And then I had a clear cup. It's caller ID. "I know you're there. Pick up." And he was like, "That's brilliant. That shit's fucking—" And he was like in my face, like, "That's good shit, man." And I never forget that. So that's one of my favorite shows. It was clever and funny, and even Jerry Seinfeld came to me one day and told me the same joke. He said, "I like that paper cup joke you do." So,
which is amazing when those guys come and tell you that, because now you're
validation.
Over.
Yeah, you get the validation, and Gary Shandling. I was on the Tonight Show. And he was the guest, the first guest, and I was the second guest. And Jay said, "You gonna? Thanks for coming." He said, "No, I want to sing Karen Tom." And I came out and I did my—
What's his voice?
Yeah, I want to sing Karen Tom. I forget how he talks now, but I used to do a good. I used to do a good Gary Shandling.
I want to sing Karen Tom.
So
he waited for me,
and I did my thing, and I had a plate for bulimics, and it was a plate. It was a toilet with a plate attached to it so you could eat and throw up at the same time. And after, he's like, "Play for bulimics. That was great." And so it was a validation of, like, and I was young. I was like, "Wow, Gary Shandling, you know, watched my act and actually came over and commented afterwards." It was brilliant. So, yeah.
It's pretty validating, like you said, like over the course of these 20 years or 30 years, where you were like, "Oh, it's the prop comedian." And now people are understanding how awesome it is what you do, because you're the only guy that— – and there's other guys that does it, but as far as guys of your level, you are the peak of as far as prop comedy.
There hasn't been one.
There really hasn't been.
There's another prop comic.
I could think Gallagher.
New ones.
There's
Gallagher's old. Gallagher's pre-me. So
no one wants to touch
you. He was my hero.
Right.
There's no other I haven't seen one, so I don't think anyone wants to be a prop comic. I think they're all like, "That shit.
You've had—
I don't want
the market."
Yeah, they don't want the harassment. I don't blame them. You know, I took a tough road.
Last question: how did you get the name Carrot Top?
Funny enough, it was funny about that. I thought of it my own. I was a marketing major in school, and I had gone to do an open mic at the college. They had a— whatever, you could do anything, you sing, dance, whatever. And I said, "Do you have any comedy?" And they said, "No." So I went up and just told jokes. So I told, you know, old jokes, like, you know, there's a joke like, you know, old lady's yelling at her husband, I'm tired of you talking behind my back and pushing me around. You're in a fucking wheelchair. Just jokes. And so I did those jokes.
Henny Youngman.
Yeah. Yeah. Ring. Yeah. And so I did that for a couple seasons at school, and people were like, wow, that's pretty funny, this, you know, comedian guy. But I was going by Scott Thompson.
Mm-hmm. And not so, to be confused with the kids in the hall, Scott
Thompson. And that's not even a joke, but it's when I thought back then, I said, I can't be Scott Thompson because it's already Scott Thompson. But,
and that's the true thing. He's sort a real guy. Famous, yeah, yeah, yeah. Great comedian.
So yeah. I said, I'm going to – I got to change it up. And I remember thinking Carrot Top. And I was called that a few times, but not that many times.
Because you have red hair.
Yeah. Yeah. But I wasn't that many times, but I thought Carrot Top. So I drew this little logo in my dorm room, and I drew Carrot Top. And it was kind of like the old figures – the bathroom used to be a symbol of a man with a round head, and a girl had the skirt and the guy had the thing. So I did the exact same thing. I put the round head with the thing, except I said Carrot Top. It was a carrot instead of a thing.
Right.
I remember my roommate said, I said, look, what's that? I said, it's my logo. And he's like, your logo? And I said, yeah. He says, for what? And I said, when I become, you know, like the Stones or Grateful Dead, I have my logo. You don't have an act. I said, I know, but I have a logo.
Right.
And I run, not even joking, I had a logo before I had an act. And all these comics, Dan Whitney, Larry the Cable Guy, all these guys, they gave me so much shit. Like, I used to put my logo in my trunk lid. And they said, what, do you have a fucking logo? And I said, yeah, why not? So when people left the club, they remembered Carrot Top. And anyway, it is funny thinking back 30 years ago that when I came up with this stupid thing, that it stuck and it worked, because it really was kind of a silly idea.
And now you have your own room in Vinnie Paul's dorm room.
Yes.
The Carrot Top.
Yeah.
How many times has Vinnie come to see you?
Oh, I'm not kidding you. Hundreds.
He actually, I've been to see Carrot Top 167 times. That was like 2 years, four, 3 years ago.
I'm not kidding you. He's hundreds, probably been... hundreds. And he does, it's free, so that's why he comes a lot. But he does come a lot. God bless Vinnie Paul. He's a good man.
Dude, last question. Who's your favorite band of
you
all time?
You said your last question before. My favorite band?
Yeah.
Queen, for sure.
Queen of all time.
Oh,
of all time.
Used to be the Stones until I met Roger, and then I got to meet, unfortunately, I never got to meet Freddie Mercury, but Queen. Hey, look, right there. Look,
that's
right
good. I see that. It's the picture right there. Dude, thank you so much, man.
Thanks for having me, man. That was fun, man.
It was a blast. Cool, thank you, man.
Hope you had that recorded.
We're shaking hands. Oh, I didn't press record. What? If you're in Vegas, you really need to go see Carrot Top's show at the Luxor. It's hilarious. Prop comedy at its finest. He throws everything up against the wall. Some of it sticks, some of it doesn't, but it's all funny. After the show is done, you'll be laughing. I guarantee it. He does 6 shows a week at the Luxor, and you can get ticket information at carrottop.com. It's a combination comedy show and rock show, and it's a lot of fun. So thanks to Carrot Top. Great guy. And thanks to you guys for supporting all of the amazing Talk is Jericho sponsors, including the one who's been with this show since the very first episode, Amazon. Please use the Talk is Jericho Amazon links whenever you do any online shopping. Easiest way to support the show. All my Amazon links are at podcast1.com. Click on the killer deals button in the top right corner of the page. Then hit the Talk is Jericho button. I got Amazon links for the USA, the UK, the Canada. Every time you use these links, Amazon kicks back a small percentage to this show to help us cover production costs. You can buy anything you want on Amazon. As a matter of fact, be a Talk is Jericho Amazon warrior. Post a picture of what you've bought on Amazon on the Twitter at Talk is Jericho, and I will retweet it and I will follow you. I want to see what you buy at Amazon, because you can get anything. Remember, go to podcast1.com, click on the killer deals button in the top right corner of the page, then hit the Talk is Jericho button. Send me the pics of what you're buying, and I will post them, okay? And thanks to all my other great sponsors, including ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Use the DDP Yoga Now app. Harry's.com. Use my promo code Jericho to get $5 off your auditor. Switch Driver. Go to works.switchdriver.com. Use the promo code Chris to get 10% off and free shipping. I enjoy my Switch Driver. It really works. I'm very excited to have it. And also there's TrueCar and also Geico. Use all the sponsors. Check it out. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button at iTunes if you haven't already. You won't miss any of the crazy rock and roll stories, wrestling stories, comedians, paranormal, athletes, porno stars. All of them are here on Talk is Jericho. Just hit the subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating and a comment or two. I really do read the comments, and your ratings and reviews are what's going to get this podcast to number one on the iTunes chart, okay? Help out Talk is Jericho. Help us get to number one. Tell all your friends about us and subscribe on iTunes as well. Thank you for listening. Keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. Stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs. And this Friday, the patriarch, the oldest brother of the Hart family, Brett's brother, Natty's uncle, Smith Hart, will be here. And boy, oh boy, is he ever a character. I'll tell you right now. He is, he's a Hart. I'll tell you that. It's a tremendous show. Talking all about the most famous family in the pro wrestling business. Smith Hart will be here on Friday. We'll see you then. And a big, yeah, boy.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
It's your last chance to get great holiday savings at Guitar Center. Like a Simmons SD550 electronic drum kit, just $399. Add your choice of AKG K52 headphones or a Shure SM48 mic, each just $39. Plus, the newest and hottest guitars, drums, keys, and more. Exclusive gear you can't get anywhere else. Special financing, lessons for the beginner on your list, and gift cards. The perfect present for every musician. So hurry in and find your sound at Guitar Center.
Trump's victory. I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute.
It's always a lot of fun when you win. If you work hard and lose, that's not acceptable.
At the White House, President Trump welcomed Republicans from the House and the Senate who passed a bill overhauling the tax code. The president says the middle class will be seeing the effects of this bill very soon.
The typical family of four earning $75,000 will see an income tax cut of more than $2,000. They're going to have $2,000, and that's, in my opinion, going to be less than the average. You're going to have a lot more than that.
The tax overhaul bill also includes a corporate tax cut.
We have companies pouring back into our country, and that means jobs, and it means really the formation of new, young, beautiful, strong companies.
Democrats have criticized the tax package as a giveaway to corporations and the rich. The tax cuts for businesses are permanent under this tax bill, but reductions for individuals and families will expire after a decade. I'm Ed Donahue.